It is a Friday, November 14th, and we're off and running here on Damon Bruce Plus. It is good to have you. Welcome back. If it's your first time here, welcome for the very first time. Please hit like and subscribe. It is great to see you. Great group, as always, in the chat. Thank you for stopping on by here. It's a Friday, baby. It's an Arizona Cardinals Friday. 49ers getting ready for a big one. And Brock Purdy is back. What does that mean? Well, we're all going to lean in and find out on Sunday afternoon. The 49ers offense getting healthier in time. Ricky Pearsall coming back. I like that. You know, it is nice to have Brock back. There's no doubting that. But at the same time, quarterback play really hasn't been an issue at all. As a matter of fact, Mac Jones has given you a level of quarterback play that suggests you might want to stick with this guy a little while longer, only because it's buying more time to heal that turf toe of Brock Purdy's. But this is the decision that the 49ers are making. They're pushing all their chips back into Brock Purdy. But if Brock Purdy does not play well in this game, you've just ignited your own house on fire. I mean, you've really just burnt down the damn thing yourself. You're hurting your playoff chances. You're now hurting your QB room with the QB controversy. You're hurting your fan base. You're pissing off everyone if this doesn't go well, that now that Brock is back in it. So I really hope it does go well, because all eyes, I mean, the minute there's a three and out, the minute that there is an incompletion, the minute that there is a turnover, God forbid, I mean, should it be Mac Jones? Should it be Mac Jones? I can already hear the questions that people ask their televisions in their living room right now as they're watching this game. I really hope it goes well for the 49ers. They certainly hope it goes well. It is certainly set up to go well, because the single biggest element of the Arizona offense that kind of scares me is Kyler Murray running with the ball. Kyler Murray ain't going to be doing that. It is Jacoby Brissett. You can pressure Jacoby Brissett on nearly 48% of his dropbacks in 4-18. That is not getting much pressure on a quarterback. I guess that is good news for the 49ers. They're dealing with the question, does Deamador Lenore play this week? Let me tell you, who plays this week for the Cardinals is, for the rare time, a bigger problem for the opponent than it is for the 49ers. The Cardinals got 18 dudes right now on the injury report. You got to look at the 49ers injury report. It's the shortest thing you've seen all year. So hopefully that means this is going to get pointed in the right direction, because there's an awful lot of working knowledge of how to deal with Arizona as a division opponent. You know, that's working knowledge that they got too, but there's also knowledge that, look, that's just the Arizona Cardinals. And you don't want to go disrespecting your opponent right before you go playing them. And I'm not trying to disrespect Arizona, but the fact of the matter is, it's been 391 days since Arizona beat a team over 500. The 49ers cannot let themselves be that next team. They can't. Not with the decision that they made to go back to Brock, and not how badly they need this win. Really, the next four as they're cobbling together their path to the postseason. Now, what that path looks like when they get there, who they are when they get there, I'm not even worried about that. I don't give a shit about Super Bowl odds. I don't give a shit about championship odds. Beat Arizona. I mean, I don't mean to be a cliche here, but taking them one at a time is the right way for the 49ers to go about doing it. There is no doubt about that. This has got to be a big CMC game. Having said that, I can't help but notice that Brian Robinson is doing a bigger job, better job, running with the football than CMC is. So why not ask him to do that a little bit more, and ask Christian to do a little bit less? Maybe you do get less is more out of more is less with Christian McCaffrey. He had 17 carries and 15 targets the last time these two teams played earlier this year. Now, a big, big element of the conflict defender that Kyle Shanahan's going to be looking for. Kyle's looking for his mismatches, and he certainly got one, because Mac Wilson did a pretty good job in coverage of McCaffrey the last time these two teams played. He's not playing this weekend. This weekend, it's going to be rookie Cody Simon, who's not bad, but he's a rookie. And that should be free supper. That should be hot supper for Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy back in the mix. So I do think you're looking at McCaffrey touching the ball an awful lot as a receiver. And from a receiver standpoint, as we told you yesterday, you're not going to be dealing with Marvin Harrison Jr. You will be dealing with Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch. Kruger and I just did our Don't Get Dortched show on Wake Up this morning. And Xavier Weaver. Look, you got to respect all those guys. They're pros, right? Never sleep on a pro's ability to look like a good player on any given day. But I'd rather face that group than the normal group of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Zay Flowers. This is the Cardinal team that if you could order it off a menu to play against, you'd be ordering this one up. Oh, you're telling me I can forego the Kyler Murray and order the Jacoby Brissett with no Marvin Harrison on the side? Oh, okay, I think I'll do that. There's a chance that Walter Nolan doesn't play in this game. There's a chance their rookie corner out of Michigan doesn't play in this game. This is a beat-up Arizona team. This is a licking-its-own-wounds Arizona team. Not that the 49ers ever stop licking their own wounds. But this damn well better be a win. And, you know, not that Larry and I got into it, but I'm just saying if Brock Purdy does not look good early on, this is not the normal quarterback, backup quarterback relationship. You got a guy who is leading the NFL in terms of passing the football. The 49ers lead the NFL in passing. So to take that guy off the field for a less than guy who isn't getting it done today, I think if you're seeing that early on, you got to make a decision to get out of that decision. Even though you don't really want to, I don't think it's nuts to say if Mac stinks or if Purdy stinks in the first half, you might see Mac Jones at halftime. I'm playing the hot hand. I know that's not really the way you want to do it, but again, the way we wanted to do things this year are so far gone and off the ranch for the 49ers, you better stop looking for that shit. It's just ridiculous. I'm playing the hot hand. Brock Purdy, of course, is going to get the right to make a mistake or two along the way, but if it looks like his mechanics are off because of this toe, you have an option that is a luxury in Mac Jones. Go back and use that luxurious option, and don't wait in between games to make that decision. You better react to the game that is unfolding and right in front of you, Kyle, this weekend. Oh, but you can't do that. I know. I know you can't do that to a quarterback, but guess what? You also can. You can do that. It's not a starting pitcher. Once a guy's pulled out of the game, he can never come back. No, that's not the way this works. Ideally, you don't want to do that, but ideally, you didn't want that turf toe injury in the first place. So you aren't working with your ideals. You have more time to put Brock back out there, but you're insisting on doing it now. You better be right about that. You really better be right about that, and I'm just going to tell you that when it comes to injury management, I don't know how much actual credibility we can say that the 49ers definitively have. That's no doubt about it, man. You don't worry about what the Niners are doing. When it comes to injuries, they're the best. Nobody says that. I don't think they're good at recovering. I don't think they're good at preventing. It's a little bit of a pain. We got New Zealand in the house. That's fantastic. Good to see you, New Zealand. Good to see all of you in here today. Thank you so much for coming on back. And please do go ahead and hit like and subscribe. I don't know what you're doing for lunch today, but you see this guy right here. Ike has got a delicious sandwich and some love waiting for you at any of his restaurants. And man, if you're in Hawaii, you got a new one now. And Ike is opened in Hawaii. There is an Ike's opening almost every, a new Ike's popping open almost every month these days, and hopefully one is coming soon to you. If you are not in a delivery area, if you are, order that sandwich now. Enjoy it for lunch today. Thank you so much to Ike for his continued sponsorship of everything we do here over on Damon Bruce Plus. We want to thank our good friends, as always, at the Dubliner, Kenny and John. I don't know where you're going to watch a little Warriors and Spurs, maybe a little 49ers football this weekend. Get yourself to the Dubliner West Portal, best Guinness in all of San Francisco, and a couple of the best bartenders. And just real, it's one of the best rooms. It's just a great bar. Find out for yourself. Dubliner West Portal, you're going to love it. And I will be cooking my sleeper parlay. We will be sharing it before anything kicks off on Saturday. But we will see what the 49ers do. We'll see what I create for myself, and that's the beauty of Sleeper. You can put together your own parlays. You can adjust the odds based on the risks you want to take. It is a fantastic user interface. Check it out and use promo code Damon when you sign up. At the very description, top of the description of this video is the link you need to use. You go ahead, use promo code Damon. You get a $100 deposit match up your first deposit of $100. So there you go. Thanks to them. Thanks to you. Thanks to all of you for being here today and our sponsors. Again, I've heard about stealing Mac's momentum. This team isn't robbing Mac Jones of any opportunity or anything. As a matter of fact, they've presented to Mac the single best opportunity he's had in this league so far. So there's nothing there. I don't think there's any there to what they're doing to rob Mac of anything. Are they robbing themselves of better quarterback play by making the decision to go back to Purdy now? If we knew the answer to that question, we would all be geniuses. But it just, this feels like a risk for a team that is normally risk adverse. I'm surprised it's happening. I'm surprised. But if they say it's time, then I guess the player plays. Because there are all sorts of, you know, sayings and truths about football that, you know, can quickly be manipulated. But one of the ultimate truths of football is the player plays. And if Brock really is saying, no, it is time, I am healthy, we got the reps in practice, and it's go time, then go and look great. And you need to, because this offense has to drive the bus the rest of the way. They don't have a defense capable of leading this team anywhere in any game. As a matter of fact, I am going to be tracking something from here on out. Because I think it's the direction this entire league, or it's the direction this entire season goes in for the 49ers based on what they do on third down alone. The three and out ratio is what I'm going to be tracking the rest of the season. How many times does the 49ers offense just go three and out? That is devastating for any offense, but it's doubly devastating for one that doesn't have a defense to pick it up, that is asking a defense that has probably been out there for a long series to get right back out there over and over and over again with three and outs. Three and outs are awful for the 49ers offense. They're not good for anyone, but particularly as you have an offense that has to lead the way on the scoreboard, three and out cannot happen. Conversely, though, whenever this team's defense forces a three and out after giving the ball back to the opposing offense, that should almost be considered a turnover for them. I have to sneeze. Thank you. That should be considered a turnover. Well, first of all, that's the only way the 49ers defense is going to get some turnovers, because they don't intercept anybody. They've only got one all year. So if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, great. But I will be counting three and outs that this defense has almost as turnovers. I think they're that important. The rest that you get to then buy for a defense that I think is going to be running on fumes, it's important. And it is get it done in the red zone time. I mean, this team, again, is moving the football all over the field. They lead the NFL in passing yards. They lead the NFL in passing yards. Look at who they've been all year with what they've had to play with. And that shows you that Kyle is pretty damn good at this. Kubiak, I guess, can get some credit too. Mac Jones, an awful lot of credit for saving this season to this point. Now we'll see what Brock does the rest of the way, but I really mean it. Now that I know what I know about Mac Jones, a struggling Brock is a lot easier to see through than ever before in my eyes. And I don't care about his feelings. If he needs to go home and cry over every page of his huge contract, that's fine by me. You know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You wear the crown, Brock. But if it gets knocked off your head in a game, there's another guy here who can put that crown on and go do something. You know, you've run out of games to run out of. This is all high price poker from here on out. These next four games, if you are 4-0, you're a 10-win football team, and it's hard to not see 10-win football teams in postseasons. It really is. That 3-and-out ratio, I'm going to be tracking it. Hopefully you join us for our live streams. Every single time the 49ers get a 3-and-out, we will celebrate. Every single time the 49ers fail at going 3-and-out on their own, that's really important, man. I guarantee you, if the Niners have more offensive 3-and-outs than they have defensive 3-and-outs, this season might not go where you want it to go. It's probably not going to the Super Bowl, period. And that's why they didn't do what they didn't do at the trade deadline. You know, it was brought up by somebody on Twitter, and Larry brought this up. They said, you know, the Niners are a little painted themselves into an odd corner. Like, if they're saying now that Brock is back, we're going to have an offense that really cooks. Well, then why didn't you go out and do more to help a defense at the trade deadline? They just stopped reinvesting in this poker hand. And I'm not going to rip them on that either, because they're not sitting with the greatest hold cards I've ever seen. Just beat the Cardinals. Beat the Cardinals any way freaking possible. Come back, do it again. We'll have all of next week's anxiety ready to sell to you then. But just beat the damn Cardinals. Again, the Cardinals do not beat good football teams for over a calendar year. They do not beat teams over 500. They just don't. Cardinals are 1-6 in their last seven games. It's Jacoby Brissett and totally banged up everywhere. You gotta win this football game. You gotta. Just get it done. Just get it done. Yeah, it really is. Like, what else can you say? I think Christian McCaffrey has to have a really good game. He is the centerpiece of everything they do. I need him to be a little less of the running game centerpiece and get Brian Robinson Jr. involved, because he's doing a better job running it than Christian is this year. I mean, at some point, you have to be in the season that you're in, and just trying to manifest the way it used to be can't be the theme of the game plan. It's time for George Kittle to have a big game, game in an end zone, not in a junk touchdown at the end of a game either. But it's time for Kittle to step up. And Ricky Pearsall, if you're back, kid, let's see it, man. You know, right when we start really kind of thinking you might be something to really help this season get pointed in the right direction, you disappear again due to injury. That can't keep happening. So Brock and Ricky back. Let's see what that looks like. Let's see what it looks like. As we told you yesterday, it would be out of the news cycle by noon today, and it already is. Like, we got major baseball awards. We got a Yankee and a Dodger both winning MVPs, and by noon the next morning, it's almost out of the news cycle. This is a four-time unanimous MVP for Otani, Aaron Judge, whether it should have been Cal Raleigh or not. You know, there's an argument to be made either way. I'm not surprised that the guy wearing pinstripes edges anybody out at the tape in the photo finish. If Cal Raleigh had been a Yankee and Aaron Judge been the Mariner, I'm sure it goes the other way. That's just the bias of the East Coast media. But there you go. That's the last time we're going to think about baseball until what? I mean, spring training really is. It's going to be an awful lot of basketball from here on out. And I want to talk about a couple guys who we all know as Splash Brothers. The Splash Brothers are having themselves kind of an interesting 48 hours. It starts with Steph Curry and Under Armour's partnership ending. Steph Curry, he goes and drops 46 the other night, and he wakes up the next morning to find out that Under Armour really isn't going to exist in a way that is going to benefit him anymore. So they are separating. Curry is going to retain the Curry brand. And the question is going to be this. Does Curry then independently operate the Curry brand, or is the Curry brand absorbed by Nike, by Reebok, by New Balance? You know, they're kind of in the game now, right? That's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens here. Nike's biggest one that got away of all time due to a bad presentation is the Curry thing. It's interesting to look at what happens just in terms of what Curry and his brand does. But that's not the guy I'm worried about at all. You don't need to worry about Steph Curry. Everything he touches turns to gold, except Under Armour. Man, did they screw that up. Under Armour, I don't know if it was overexpansion or greed or what it was, but Under Armour felt like it was the cool thing, the new thing, the good thing. And then they just touched that sneaker third rail and it all changed their image quickly. It changed Under Armour's image quickly. Under Armour went from being, man, that's a really, really cool brand, to, man, those are some cheap ass shoes. Curry's got some good shoes. I'll give him that. But I don't know how much people love that brand. If you're Nike, you got to be running with a mega offer at Curry to make up for all the mistakes that have been made. We'll see. We'll see what happens. His Splash brother. And that's the thing. Curry and Klay will forever be brothers. They now live in different homes. But Klay Thompson has had a week that has probably left him wondering what the hell's going on here. But he knows exactly what's going on. First of all, Klay Thompson is upset that Jay Williams, White Chocolate, and Pat Bev on a podcast were talking about why Klay is struggling so mightily this year. And they said it's Megan Thee Stallion's fault. And they basically said just Klay is way too busy and open legs, tire men's legs out. And so they basically said Klay has lost his game because of all the sex he's having with Megan Thee Stallion. But it was taken even one step further when I believe Jay Williams referred to her simply as pussy. It's the pussy. That's why Klay's shooting percentage is off. It's the puss. Okay. Well, Klay Thompson, and it is good to know that chivalry is not dead. Klay Thompson said, hey, referring to my girlfriend as pussy is so disgusting and disturbing, especially from someone who played in the NBA. How would y'all feel if I referred to your wives in such a way? And he tagged like Pat Bev and Jason Williams on that. And you know what, Klay Thompson, defending your girlfriend on any level of fame, it is the right thing to do. Klay Thompson was raised by a good dad and a good mom in a good home that men respect women publicly. Privately, Klay's been banging 8s, 9s, and 10s from L.A. for years now. Klay Thompson understands the concept of this is just some pussy. He does. So don't pretend that this is a foreign topic here to you, Klay. By the way, because Klay knows that all so well, I'm going to tell you that Megan Thee Stallion is not responsible for his declining shooting percentage. Because Klay, again, has been knee-deep in it for a decade. What you're looking at is a player who is getting old, whose legs have been betrayed by injury, and it's all going south quickly for Klay Thompson in a bad situation that was surrounded by Nico's negativity. Again, the Dallas team that he signed up to play with is not the team that he has around him now. So everything is off for Klay's world, probably, except the world-famous girlfriend. I will say this, though. As much as Klay is right to defend his girlfriend, saying, how do you refer to her as pussy? I'm pretty sure that Megan Thee Stallion refers to herself as pussy. Like that, she does. There is no woman out there who is using the concept of her wet-ass pussy to sell records and merch as much as Megan Thee Stallion is. You are dating the queen of Let Me Rap About My Pussy. That is who you are with, Klay. And I also need to tell you this, Klay, and I love you, and I love that you defended your girlfriend, but slow your roll a little bit because your girlfriend ain't quite like the others. Also, and this is maybe the most important thing for Klay to understand, you cannot compare your girlfriend to anybody's wife. Wife so thoroughly outranks girlfriend, you're now talking about apples and oranges. You know, how would you feel if I called your wives pussy? Well, first of all, wives aren't that anymore. That's kind of what happens when you get married, which is why you're never going to marry Megan Thee Stallion. And you're probably going to enjoy her for the remainder of the spectacular portion of the WAP song. And then, you know, I just, come on. Like, I understand what you're trying to do, Clay. This is not a hill to be dying on right now. But I hear you. There's a part of me that appreciates it. But again, I'm pretty sure that she refers to herself as pussy in the public domain by the song. So let's not pretend that she sells anything else. And that's what she sells. Music about her pussy. That's what she sells. So it's also maybe not totally Jay Williams' fault for thinking that must be keeping you up at night a little late. How about this? Everybody's right. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's kind of correct. Everybody's also kind of wrong. Everybody knows that we're probably not seeing that Clay and Megan Thee Stallion wedding video. You don't fall in love with strippers. And I know that she is so graduated beyond stripper at this point. She's very much a world famous multimillionaire rapper. Very good advice here is you never fall in love with anyone who takes their clothes off for a living. And I'm not saying that she's a stripper, but she presents as one. She's wearing the uniform at all times, and that's what she sells. So Clay, this is not just some random girl. Don't talk about my girlfriend like that. She's a little different. Again, sex is not affecting Klay Thompson's shot. This is Achilles injury. This is knee damage. He's been banging LA 8-9s and 10s since about 2012. Google Klay Thompson's exploits. It's impressive. I mean, he's not quite in Derek Jeter territory, but it's impressive. Carl, this is the segment I needed today, even though I had no idea even this was a story. That's why we're here, Carl. That's why we do what we do. Oh, there better not be a sex tape. There's no sex tape. Here's the thing. Clay's way too smart for that. Dude, Clay is the coolest dude in the room. He really is. Clay is the coolest dude in the room. You're not going to rile him up. He stays calm while other people are losing their composure around him. That's what he does. Clay saying, don't you dare. What if I referred to your wife as pussy? Don't. That's my wife. That's your girlfriend, dude. What are you talking about? Two totally different things. How about this? If you want to prove to me that it's more than just pussy, make her your wife. There you go. Then all spicy language will cease and desist. Warriors at Spurs tonight. Warriors at Spurs tonight. Okay. Give me Draymond versus Wembanyama again. Let's see if Curry can drop 46 again. Let's see if Moody can have a better game. Let's see how this team looks trying to do it again. Again, yeah, I think the Warriors are going to be able to one-off beat anybody in this league at any night. Really, they're going to beat the Nuggets. They're going to beat the Thunder. They're going to beat, well, I don't know if they're going to beat the Thunder, but, you know, like the Warriors can come out and play a basketball game means, hey, they beat anybody. Let's see if they can have two of those in a row against the Spurs, because that's where I think the Warriors are going to really have their problems. It's not going to be that one-off. It's a series. Can you win a series? There's back-to-back games in San Antonio. Let's see what the Warriors look like tonight. I told you yesterday in yesterday's show, based on what was and wasn't on TV, it was a great night to check out the Sharks. If you had not watched any Sharks hockey, it's the right night to do it. And boy, if you watched the Sharks last night for the very first time, I wouldn't blame you at all if you're like, yeah, I'm done with them. That was awful. Of course, the Sharks, on the very first time I am selling reasons to go and watch them, have a, you're not shooting enough, you are not dialed in enough, you are turning the puck over far too much, terrible hockey game against the worst team in the NHL. The Calgary Flames had the fewest amount of points in hockey. They suck. And the Sharks were awful last night. So, you know, just the old Damon Bruce kiss of death. Everybody tune in. Let's get excited about this. Worst game that they played all year, I think. It was awful. A chance for a second impression? Yes, we'll give Macklin, Celebrini, and company a chance for a second impression. They play the Seattle Kraken on Saturday. So you got a big college football Saturday. And then Saturday night, you get a little Sharks and Kraken. Okay, sure, I'll be there. College football all day long, I'm going to be there. Let me tell you, we got Minnesota at Oregon, little Friday night Big Ten game tonight. So I saw a story that you're going to see more college football on Friday nights and that they're going to start attacking high school football. Of course they are. Of course. Eyeballs is all these networks are chasing. And who's ever... Whichever little group of kids or tradition need to get stepped on in the pursuit of eyeballs, they'll do it. So Friday night, Big Ten game tonight, Minnesota at Oregon. Wisconsin at number 2, Indiana tomorrow. Come on, beat Whiskey. Let's go, Hoosiers. Got number 3, Texas A&M taking on South Carolina. Real big one in the SEC. Number 11, Oklahoma at number 4, Alabama. That's setting up to be the game of the day. UCLA at number 1, Ohio State. Go Bruins. Shock the world. I dare you. Both Cal and Stanford are off this weekend. My man Vince Vargas in here today. You got 3-6 San Jose State at 1-8 Nevada. That's a big Mountain West game if there ever was one. Go Sparty. Hey, we're gonna be out of college football soon enough. So enjoy it while you can. College basketball, baby, it's coming back. And to let you know that it's coming back officially, there was a story today on ESPN.com that gets into what we were talking about, how gambling is about to be a story that is going to be like opioid-level crisis problem. Well, gambling case around college basketball today... had 14 people charged for their roles in a multi-million-dollar illegal sports betting ring that involved college athletes and had links to organized crime in New Jersey. Now, according to the story on ESPN, Joseph Little Joe Panera. By the way, if your nickname is Little Joe, we're going to have a RICO case on you real fast. There's no doubt about that. But anyway, Joseph Little Joe Panera, member of the Lucchese crime family and his associates, ran a nationwide network of bookmakers who used offshore websites to facilitate approximately $2 million in bets between the years 2022 and 24. Perna, who is Pernera, 55 years old of Fairfield, New Jersey, is charged along with his sons, his stepsons, his nephews, and others with racketeering, conspiracy, gambling offenses, and money laundering. New Jersey Attorney General says that several college athletes operated sports books at the direction of this crime organization. So now what'll be interesting is who in the 14 will start flipping on who and how much does this go? And we're talking about like, yeah, they're rigging games at SUNY Stony Brook. They're rigging games at Wagner. They're rigging a game at Pace College. I wonder how much is that or how much like actually touches major college basketball. It'll be interesting to watch it all unfold, but all I'm going to tell you is that you can sign up for Sleeper right now, and then gambling is going to be a problem in America. Sports gambling, it's coming. Again, thank you for being here today. Thank you for hitting like and subscribe. We've had 2 tinier audiences than normal. Where has everyone gone? Is everyone on vacation this week? We had a very tinier than normal audience gathering yesterday, a tinier than normal gathering. The algorithm is not algoing the way it needs to. Is that what's going on here? Because I'm telling you, the content is great. It's definitely not my fault. This feels like your fault. Hit like and subscribe, please. On that note, it's time for Today in History. Are you ready? Are you ready for a little history? We got some for you today. We, as always, start with our birthdays. Very odd birthdays today. First of all, we got a king, a composer, a war criminal, and a drummer. King Charles, 77 years old now. Don't call him a prince. That man's the king now. King Charles, 77. The composer, Yanni. I can't name a Yanni song. I can't even tell you if I've ever heard a Yanni song, but they used to sell his advertising. They used to sell his records on TV all the time. Yanni, internationally renowned composer, Yanni. Yanni is 71 years old today, as is our war criminal, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. She should probably be in prison. Travis Barker, 50 years old. He is a drummer. He has a lot of tattoos. So there you go. There are your birthdays today. And I guess we could also say happy birthday, Moby Dick. Moby Dick by Herman Melville, published for the first time today in 1851. It's about a fish. Today in 1922, the BBC officially began broadcasting domestic radio services and broadcasting with a 6 p.m. newscast read by announcer Arthur Burroughs. Arthur Burroughs was your first voice to come across the BBC, which began broadcasting today in 1922. Today in 1968, it became National Turn In Your Draft Card Day, featuring the burning of draft cards over the Vietnam War on college campuses all over America. The phrase, goddamn hippies, was probably used more times today than any other day in recorded human history because of that alone. Damn hippies. Today in 1986, in trying to prevent his legend from growing, what they really did was took his legend to a whole level that no one could have ever imagined. Today in 1986, the FCC issued a notice of apparent liability to WYSP in Philadelphia for broadcasting The Howard Stern Show. Somebody in Philadelphia complained so much about a bit that Howard did that the FCC decided to start fining Howard Stern. Again, if you want to make something popular, slap a parent warning label and say you're not supposed to listen to that on it. And then all of a sudden, people are running out to buy, you know, Wet Ass Pussy by Megan Thee Stallion. In this case, it was Howard Stern. And Howard Stern's legend grew two times that day. Nice job, FCC. Another thing that happened today in 1986, not only was Howard getting his indecent reputation, which made him a household name, the movie Hoosiers. Speaking of my Hoosiers, the movie Hoosiers was released in theaters. It was nominated for two Oscars. It was nominated for Best Original Score, which if you think about it, dun, 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 dun. Oh, I love the score in Hoosiers. Just the beginning. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And Dennis Hopper got nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Now, it didn't win either of those Oscars, but Hoosiers is among the most beloved sports movies of all time. For a lot of people, it is their number one sports movie of all time. You can't find better performances, a more relatable story. It's great. It's a great movie beyond just the premise of it's a sports movie. It's a great movie. If you've never seen Hoosiers, come on. Today in 1991, you want to talk about a big rollout? Michael Jackson knew exactly how to do it. Today in 1991, Michael Jackson's Black or White video got aired on MTV, BET, VH1, and on Fox after an episode of The Simpsons. He had the world premiere of the black and white video. The black and white video had George Wendt from Cheers starring as the angry dad in it. It had Macaulay Culkin in it. And then what the whole video was really about was our first time seeing CGI graphics to that extent, where they started morphing one face into another face, a man, a woman, a different ethnicity. All that morphing that was done at the end of that video, you had only ever seen it in what? Terminator 2? Terminator 2, when he walks through the prison bars for the very first time, was like, oh my God, special effects are getting good. And then the Michael Jackson video, the end of that video, I remember saying, rewind that. We got to watch that again. Got to see that. That was incredible. Did anyone else just see that? That was a big moment in music video moments. Happy birthday to the first train to go through the Channel. That's the English Channel, right? Connecting Paris to London. I've gone in the Channel. Jillian and I have channeled. Damon, do you think that Jillian is channeling you so aggressively? That's the reason why your shooting percentage is down? No, I've been channeling for a long time here. I'm just getting older. We normally don't circle like this day in history and relate it to music because we get lost in that. But I do have to tell you, today in 1998, the number one song and number one album in America was what? Lauryn Hill. Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Doo-wop. That Thing. That's a great song. That Thing by Lauryn Hill is fantastic. What a great, I mean, not a lot of songs you can say no notes. That's perfect. That song's perfect. And there you go. I really, really hope you appreciated that. Again, kind of a boutique audience today. Oh, I got to hit that router. I'm seeing some grainy footage again. Do I have to restart this router every freaking day? Is that what's going on here? I need a new router, AT&T. God damn it. Thank you very much for watching. I hope to see you again on Sunday. We will be doing our live stream watch party around 49ers and Cardinals. We hope to see you then. In the meantime, thank you very much for tuning in. And please do remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.